I have faced my share of temptations during COVID times. I have. I've been tempted to cave in to despair, to cave into stress and worry. I've been tempted to give in to overeating. Anybody else? A COVID 10 or 15 or 20? Yeah, we all face it. I've been tempted to give in to snappy, snarky comebacks, angry words with loved ones. I mean, when you're pent up that long with certain people, it's tempting for it to just come out, right? I've been very tempted to harbor bitter feelings, deep struggles. Anybody else face similar tempting times? You know what I'm talking about, temptations? How do we deal? What can we do when it seems like our very best attempts are just not sufficient? When it comes to tempting, when it comes to suffering, when it comes to testing, how do we deal with such strenuous tests of character? After all, temptations and testings and sufferings, they all work together as tests of character in our lives. It's phenomenal that included in Jesus' model prayer, we see Matthew 6 and verse 13. Matthew 6 and verse 13, we see it together. It's powerful truth, such powerful truth together. Check it out with me. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Recall that we've been learning together how to pray like King Jesus. How to pray like King Jesus, and we are aiming to enjoy praying like Jesus, to engage in constant communion with our Father in such joyous prayer. That was Jesus' own rhythm in prayer, that he enjoyed talking with his Father. He enjoyed communing with his Father. It was this Father-Son, Son-Father relationship that was powerful together. And he enjoyed it, and we're called, as we come to the Lord's Prayer, to enjoy communion with the Father like that. Last week, Ryan and Randy and Amy helped us think about forgiveness. Forgiveness, this relational component, holds a central role in Jesus' model prayer. Central role, forgiveness. We've been learning together that praying like Jesus is not just a solo divine interchange. It's not simply praying the Father and me and the Father. It's us, our Father. It's not just solo interchange. It's together. Prayer together to our Father. It's also the kind of prayer that has very relational implications, highly relational implications. Prayer changes us. Prayer changes us individually as individual persons and us together, in relationships together. We are in desperate need to receive forgiveness of our sins. Our record, our souls carry the weight and the stain, so we need the clearing, the cleansing, forgiveness that our Heavenly Father, our good Father, freely gives by grace through faith. We need that. And we desperately need to grant forgiveness to others. We desperately need to give the Father's style of forgiveness away to other people. Highly likely that this issue, this unforgiving outlook was the most pressing temptation that Jesus had in mind right here. Notice it included in the line of verse 13. Notice what takes place right here. Notice what we see transpire. Powerful to realize what takes place in the spot right here. Incredible to see what he says. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive them. He says, notice the implications. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Sandwiched right here, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And then he says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. So wrapped right here in this lead us not into temptation is this issue of forgiveness toward others. Wrapped right here is this issue of forgiveness toward others. Probably the most pressing thing Jesus had in mind was the implications relationally with one another. How do you deal? How do you deal with the temptation to harbor that bitterness? How do you deal with the temptation to be spiteful towards someone back? How do you deal with that temptation? Oh, such temptation. As you listen today, I want to encourage you, realize these prayerful lines can indeed supply and apply to all sorts of tempting and testing situations. Specifically, Jesus' model prayer should impact our struggles over relational turmoil with family, with friends, with clients, and anyone in community. This word temptation is not just it's not just about forbidden fruit. It's not just Gollum and the One Ring. Jesus' word choice is actually multifaceted. It involves both tantalizing pull toward sinful practices and our testing times of suffering and hardship. They are often intertwined, right? We experience the onset of crisis like our COVID crisis right now, and what happens? We then experience the onset of extra temptations that come with it, like overeating and like bitterness and a thirst for revenge toward others. Our temptations increase with our times of testing. Yes, that pull toward ugliness and bad dark side habits and patterns of self-indulgence and lazy do-nothingness and anger and vengeance and snapbacks and yes, that deep-seated root of bitterness. These ugly traits and others can rear their ugly heads, and we need help. I need help. You need help. We need deliverance. We need deliverance. Some real head scratching has indeed emerged in time over the years with these little words, lead us not into temptation. How? Why would a good father lead anyone into temptation? Great question. It's very important to realize that testing via suffering and sin is all part of our human existence. Both biblical stories as well as our own daily lives prove it out, right? It's part of our normal human existence. It's proved out in biblical stories and our own daily existence. I mean, just the fact that you've been tempted to overeat during COVID is evidence of the fact it's part of daily existence. There are times that our Heavenly Father allows temptations and testing. We see Abraham, the old patriarch Abraham in Genesis 22. Great test right there, Genesis 22. We see Joseph, the young man Joseph in Genesis 39. We see Job's trials and testing and patience that he demonstrated. Jesus owned temptation by Satan in the wilderness in Matthew 4. Jesus' own temptation shows there are indeed these immense times when the Father allows testing and temptation. Each of these characters and their stories supply us with rich insights about how to face temptation. No doubt about it. Rich insights. Good tactics. Write them down. Highlight them. Good tactics like trusting God with faithful obedience. If you're an Abraham and God sends you out on a test of some kind, you keep trusting him with faithful obedience. Learning to run away from evil influences and evil influencers. It's what Joseph, the young man Joseph, had to do in Potiphar's house in Egypt. Run away! Learning to say no. When's the last time you actually practiced saying no? How about you try it right now? If you're there in the living room with your family or around the dining room table or you're watching all on your own, how about you just say it out loud? How about the crew of us right now? Let's just say it out. No. One, two, three. No. No. You know, all too often we're tempted or we're tested and we just kind of go along. We just kind of give in. We bite the hook of temptation. We grab for the forbidden fruit. We go for the golden ring. We just give in instead of saying no. How about stopping in your tracks when stinking thinking, rotten thoughts come your way? How about saying, I reject that? I had this week in my own life several different times. Places where I had to stop in my mental tracks and say, I reject that thought. I reject that thought. Where did that come from? That stinking thinking, it has no place in my heart, no place in my mind. To learn to reject, to say no. So important. The armor of God, Ephesians 6, Paul talks about it. We stand strong, patient, and prayerful. So crucial. Knowing and quoting scripture, Jesus did it. It's so good. It's so important. Knowing and quoting scripture, letting God's word shape your thinking and actions. Letting God's truth have first place to shape how you view and do life. It's essential. Now, this is all good. These tactics, I hope you wrote some of them down. I hope that you highlighted them in your heart and mind. These are all very good. But with Jesus' prayer right here, there's something more going on. There's something more going on. You see, Jesus knew. He's encouraging us to ask the Father to mercifully limit the reach and the influence of temptations and trials. It's a genuine heart cry, much like the psalmist expresses again and again. Oh Lord, how long? Oh Lord, deliver me. Oh Lord. In this case, Lord, don't even let me go there. Oh God, guard me. Guard me from the tempting and testing paths. Please, oh Lord. This rings true. It rings right in tune with Jesus himself praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. If it's possible, Father, let this cup pass from me. And recall, he said to his disciples, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Lest you give in to temptation. The spirit is willing in the flesh, but the flesh is weak. Watch this. Take a look. When is the last time you earnestly prayed to your Father about temptation? Well, when is the last time you gave an honest heart cry? Lead me not. Don't even let me go there. Don't even take me down the path of suffering and temptation and trials. Oh, Lord. Oh, Father. When's the last time you prayed like that? Philip Keller frames it like this. Keller says, temptation in itself is not necessarily an evil experience. Do you realize that? It's important to realize. Temptation in itself is not necessarily an evil experience. It is part and parcel of our Father's plan for producing people of strong character and Christ-like qualities. Listen to that again. It is part and parcel of our Father's plan for producing people of strong character and Christ-like qualities. And then Keller goes on to say this. It is perfectly proper and legitimate for us to ask our Father in heaven not to lead us into temptation simply because we know our hearts and their natural propensity to evil. When you know your heart's natural propensity to evil, when you know that you could give in to bitterness, when you know that you could give in to snarky, snapback, vengeful words, when you know that you can give in like that, well, it's so good to cry out to your good, good Father. Still, Keller says he has made provision for us to be triumphant in temptation. He is able to deliver us from evil. He is able to deliver us from evil. Back in Matthew 6, Jesus continues, deliver us from the evil one. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us. How often we fail to realize that we really are in danger. That we really are in danger, that this is serious business, this business of temptations and testing and how they might impact our souls. How often, I just kind of stumble and fumble along and fail to actually realize just how serious this is and how desperately in need I am. Deliver me, deliver us. The litany in the old Anglican prayer book goes like this. This is an old litany in the Anglican prayer book. It goes like this. From sin, from the crafts and assaults of the devil, from all blindness of heart, from pride, vainglory, and hypocrisy, from envy, hatred, and malice, and all uncharitableness, from fornication, and all other deadly sin, and from all the deceits of the world and flesh and the devil. Do you get the impression this prayer is trying to cover all the bases related to evil? From sudden, unexpected, and unprepared for death, from hardness of heart and contempt of thy word and commandment, good Lord, deliver us. Wow. How about that for a prayer? Good Lord, deliver us. How about write that one down and try praying that this week? Good Lord, deliver me. Good Lord, deliver us. Now, evil can indeed mean sin, horrific, trying circumstances. It could also mean the source, the evil one, the enemy himself, as in, deliver us from Satan. Deliver us from the evil one. Jesus probably had all of this in mind, intertwined. Much like trials, sufferings, and temptation to sin, these issues are typically so wrapped together. It's such an honest, humble, real-time heart cry. Why? What's the motivation? Well, Jesus knew. He walked as perfect, sinless Son of God in a body just like us. And he was tempted. The writer of Hebrews tells us he was tempted in all ways just like we are, yet without sin. Jesus knew. He knows how much saving deliverance we really need. We can know We can know and be skilled in all the best tactics for tackling temptation. We highlighted some of them earlier. We can know those, and we need to know those. We can know, and we can quote scripture, and we need to. We can have accountability partners, and those are marvelous. We can have input from support groups and life groups, and those are great. We can do all sorts of Bible studies and prayer groups, and those are tremendous, all very good, healthy, and helpful. And at the end of the day, we are still utterly dependent on our gracious, loving, merciful, mighty Father's work to deliver us, save us, forgive us, and transform us. Do you cry out and ask for that? At the end of the day, when you're at the end of your rope and you've tried every tactic for tackling temptation, do you cry out, Father, deliver me. Father, deliver us from evil. We need his protective shield. Oh, we need his delivering fortress. We need his protective shield. About a year and a half ago, I had a situation in my own life that was ongoing for a number of weeks where honestly, I felt attacked from a number of angles. I felt unseen forces attacking. I felt evil people attacking. I felt my own heart and mind temptations attacking. And I found myself starting then to pray in renewed ways. And I've honestly, over the last year and a half, prayed this now every day. Lord, deliver me. Lord, be my defense. Lord, be my protective shield. Lord, be my fortress. We need his wisdom. We need his wisdom to set our thinking straight. We need the Holy Spirit's comfort, encouragement, and come alongside us power to enable us. We ultimately need his saving, mercy, gushing, atoning grace to cover us for how much we've messed up, to make us right with God, to make us right with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We need his saving work to deliver us from our own evil ways, our eternal condemnation, and the treacherous, evil destiny we each deserve, apart from Christ's work on the cross, apart from his triumph over the grave. We need his deliverance. Deliver us from the evil one is such an ultimate prayer. Do you ask? Do you ask? When's the last time you actually cried out, Lord, deliver us. Lord, deliver me. Do you cry out like this? Deliver us from the evil one. So, take evil and the evil one more seriously. I'm struck with the reality that we traipse around these days like there's not really a battle. Like there's not really a conflict when there is. We tend to live dulled and lulled and lethargic and sleepy and not really awake to the battle that rages, a very real war for our souls. Let's learn from Jesus' prayer, what's really going on. He knew. He wants us to know. He wants us to wake up. But what's really going on? Stop trying to go it alone and conquer on your own strength. Really engage. Really engage so that you stand stronger in your faith, especially regarding forgiveness and peace with others. Some of you today have something you need to let go of, you need to release, you need to forgive. And if you're wrestling with that right now, I'd encourage you, tap into a friend. You can jump on and chat right there with somebody who would love to pray with you right here online, would love to pray with you and chat with you and be support and encouragement for you. Some of you need to send a text or you need to pick up the phone in the next few minutes and say, listen, I need to talk this out with you. I need to forgive. And I've been harboring this. I've been holding on to this. Some of you need to talk that out with God like you never have before and say, deliver me, forgive me. I want to forgive like you forgive, Father. We're going to the next week start a brand new series called Joy and Thriving. Joy and Thriving. It's in the little letter of James in the New Testament. And I want to encourage you, you can start reading in advance. We'll have resource information for you. And we warmly welcome you to gather. Come on back, both 9 o'clock and 10:30. We would love to see you next week. But I want to encourage you, read in advance this week in James. And we're going to talk next week about joy and thriving. If you wonder, on all that we've been talking about the last few minutes, will God really? Will God really? It's a good question. Will God really deliver? Will he really deliver? Well, it's important to know that Jesus did not do doublespeak. He didn't say, pray this, and but maybe the Father might do it. No. He teaches us, Jesus teaches us to pray about things your Father is ready to deliver on. So look at God's promise in Psalm 91, 14 through 16. Psalm 91, 14 through 16. Many of you all through this COVID crisis have been clinging to a spot like Psalm 91. These are the Lord's words. Because he loves me, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me. There's prayer. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. And one more great big promise and praise. Jude, the New Testament writer, says, but you, dear friends, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's our role, our part. Keep yourselves in God's love. And then Jude says, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. Do you notice it? Here's our part and there's his part. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. He will deliver you. He will. Will you cry out to him? Father, thank you so much that you deliver on your promises. Thank you, precious Jesus, that you don't do doublespeak. You deliver. Thank you, Lord. We praise you so much that we can rely on you. We praise you so much that we can count on you, that we can bank on your promises, that you indeed deliver. Thank you so much, Lord. I pray you'd give us the courage to pray bolder prayers. Give us the courage to pray with open hearts before you, yes, to employ smart tactics when it comes to temptation, but oh God, we utterly depend on you to deliver us. Because at the end of the day, we still struggle. Temptation and suffering and trials and testing, and thank you that you desire to use all of it to grow us stronger in your character, Lord Jesus.